All right, we're starting a new series today on Thanksgiving, and the question today is, are you thankful for your life, and what should Christians be thankful for? And there's plenty in the scriptures about this and the importance of Thanksgiving, and so we're going to look at that starting today. And if you have your Bibles, we'll be in the book of Psalms, and I think you'll find that this will be very beneficial and very practical to your life, and it helps to encourage you as you go through times of trials. And there's an important thing about giving thanksgiving and the obstacles that are giving it to giving it. And we'll look at some of those today and what are the obstacles to giving God thanks. You know, in American culture, we've progressed into a culture of want. We never seem like we have enough. And because of that, much of our prayer life is really focused. When we go to God in prayer, we focus so much on what more we're in need of. And we don't focus so much on giving God thanks. And you know, the Bibles, the scriptures tell us that it's a good thing to make our requests known to God. But there's more to praying than just that. When we go, we see the scriptures explain to us that thanksgiving should be a vital part of a prayer life. When you go and you look at prayer, thanksgiving should be a vital part of it. And if this is true, then we got to ask ourselves, how often do we really spend giving God thanks? How often do we thank Him for those things that we have? Do we even realize and stop to recognize what all God has already blessed us with? And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to spend looking at the importance of giving thanks. What are some obstacles to giving thanks to God? And what sort of things are Christians thankful for? Just some of them. But David said in Psalms chapter 95, that's where we'll start today. David said, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us come before the presence of God with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. That's a song, to praise the Lord our God with a song. I got a question. Have you ever went out of your way for somebody and they didn't even say thank you? I mean, you sacrificed your time, you took time out of your day, or you took time, maybe you gave them a good portion of your income and you just happened to donate something and donate your time and your materials and things like that, and they didn't even say thank you for it. Or even better yet, maybe they didn't even acknowledge that you actually helped them. I'd say most of us have been in that position. And you know, it doesn't feel good. It hurts. Now, obviously, we don't just do things for people and help people and sacrifice our time for self-gain. But not being recognized, that's not going to stop us from serving others. But it doesn't feel too good. And somebody went out and they were standing in line at the fast food place, and I think I had said, you know, when you're standing in line somewhere, maybe you're at the gas station or you're out to eat, you should just offer to pay for somebody's food. And somebody offered to pay, right? And the lady said, I don't even know you. You're not paying for my food. I don't even know who you are. No, you're not paying for my food. No way. I'm not going to let you. And she was mean about it, right? Sometimes that happens, and you came back and you said, I'm never going to do anything you said again, right? You said, I'm not going to take any more of your advice. You know, that was the exception. That doesn't usually happen. But it doesn't feel too good when somebody's not thankful for a sacrifice that we want to make just to show the love of Christ. It doesn't feel so good when you actually serve someone and they don't even acknowledge you. And so, obviously, one of the reasons why we should give thanks is because the person we're giving thanks to deserves it. The person we're giving thanks to wants to hear it. It makes them feel better. It's not that if they don't get that acknowledgement that they're going to stop serving. Some will, but we shouldn't as Christian beings. We should, as children of God, we should continue to serve. But one reason for giving God thanks is because He actually deserves to be given thanks. And we should give thanks to God because He actually deserves it. That's for His benefit. So now besides that, let's look at some more things this morning. If we turn to Psalms chapter 95, I'm going to read the first five verses. And David says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Look at verse 2 there again. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. God wants us to go before him giving thanks. And we read on further in the book of Psalms. In chapter 105, it says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. It says, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Chapter 106, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord. For his mercy, it says. Psalms 107, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And we go and we see in this book, David gave a great deal of his time and devoted much of his writing to giving thanks to God. There's a reason for that. Because David realized, he recognized that there was a benefit to himself if he gave thanks to God. Not only did he recognize that there was an importance to this and for God's benefit, but that this really benefited himself. The Bible says, give thanks to God. So let's look at why is it important to give thanks? Why is it important to give thanks to God? Number one, we should focus our attention. When we start to give thanks, when we go to God in prayer, maybe you're going through a time of trial, or you're going through a time of need, a time of want, you're going through difficulties, it's a tough situation, you don't know how, what direction you should go. Instead of focusing on what all you're in need of, why don't we stop for a minute, because it's easy to get discouraged. And if we focus on what we do not have and we focus on so much of the things that we need, we can end up throwing ourselves a pity party. And that's what happens much of the time. We focus, we get tunnel vision. And that's where we can only see what we've got our eyes on and we can't see anything on the outside of it. We focus on what we lack. And when we go to God and we say, God, I want to just thank you for giving me breath and a life to live today. I want to thank you for a roof over my head. I want to thank you for food on the table. I want to thank you that, Lord, I have the good health I do. I want to thank you for a wife. I want to thank you for my husband. I want to thank you for a mother, a father, my brothers and sisters. I want to thank you for the things that I have. When we start to do that and we go and we recognize that God is our provider, here's what it does. It focuses our attention on God, and it reminds us that he is in control. It reminds us that God is in control, because when we thank him for being our provider and being our protector, and we look back at our life and we see what all God has brought us through and what all God has provided us with, it gets our mind off of the situation and the things we lack, and it gets our mind on the God who provides, and it gets our mind on the God who is in full control. Because when we start to recognize what he's done for us and what he's brought us through, we have to admit he's in control of our life. It's not us who's in control of our life. Sometimes we think we're in control, but God is ultimately in control. And what that means, he's a sovereign God. He's a sovereign God. He is a God who is in control of everything. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Paul said, we need to thank God. That's an important part of our prayer life. So when we've all surrounded the throne of God with the angels in heaven, Revelation chapter 7, verse 12 says, we'll shout, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So we feel safe because of God's power, because we serve an awesome, powerful God, a God who is able to do anything within his nature. Well, that means that some will come and they say, well, God can't tell a lie. That's true, because that's contrary to his nature. And someone else said that God can't create a rock that's too big that he can't pick it up. Yeah, that's true. That's contrary to his nature. He's an all-powerful God. He can create, he can do anything, all things within his nature. We serve a powerful God. What happens when we praise God? When we come and we sing praises to him, and we come and we pray and give him thanks, that's giving God praise, that's worshiping God, it increases our faith. Because the more and more we see what God has brought us through and what he's done for us, it gives us that much more confidence to trust him for these things in the future. And so praising God and giving him thanks reminds us he is a powerful, sovereign God, and it increases our faith, our confidence in him, that he's going to be there for us. So we feel safe because of his power. Number two, another reason why it's important to give thanks is because it causes us to recognize that the interest, it causes us to recognize the interest that God has for his people. See, some people really believe God is nowhere to be found. Some people really believe he's an all-powerful God and say he created the world, he created the creation, all the things that are within it. He created the human body. He created all these magnificent things. But he cares nothing about us now. He created the weather system. He created the water. He created the earth, the atmospheres. He created the solar system and caused it so it would spin around itself and the sun would appear at the right time and so that the moon would give us light at night. And he created all these magnificent things. But now he's gone on vacation. And God cares nothing about me, people say. God, I'm insignificant to God, they think. But when we search the scriptures, we see that is so contrary to the truth that God wants everything to do with his creation. God wants to know everything that you're going through. Even though he already knows what you're going through, he wants to hear from us. God wants us to pray. In fact, he died on the cross so that we could pray and we could talk to him. And so we feel safe because of his love. He causes us to recognize when we give God thanks, we recognize that he actually cares about the things that we're in need of. It causes us to recognize that he actually cares about what I go through and whether or not I'm safe, whether or not I have the things that I really need. So we feel safe because of his love. And here's the thing. The combination of God's love and his power gives us peace that passes all understanding. Listen to this. This is very important. Because if we served a God who was all-powerful, but he didn't love the world, then we wouldn't feel very safe at night. If we served a God who was all-powerful, but didn't have any love, any concern, any interest for us, then we couldn't sleep at night. It would be much like a corrupt police officer, who they have the power to stop evil, but they have no desire to do it. It would be like a corrupt politician, who they have the power to stop evil in its track, but they have no desire to do it. So they're reckless and they hurt others and they abuse the power that God has given to them. On the other side of it, if we serve the God who is just a loving God, but he didn't have the power to actually solve our problems, he didn't actually have the power to bring us through things, we wouldn't have much peace in that either. I think of it kind of like you buying a chihuahua as a guard dog for your house. That dog may love you to death and he may die fighting for your safety, but if someone breaks in your house, he's not going to do much to save you. He's not going to do much to keep you safe. He has all the love and compassion and all your best interest in mind, but he doesn't have the power to keep you safe or to solve your problems or to bring you through whatever trial you're about to be met with. He doesn't have the power to keep you from your enemies and keep you safe in the midst of trials and harm. So see, the combination of God's love and his power is what gives us peace that passes all understanding. It gives us a feeling of safety. Number three, reason why it's important to give thanks is because our faith in God increases. Now, this is just a natural result of stopping to think about what all God has done for you and stopping to think about what all God has brought us through. Because when we take a look at that, we have to admit, wow, this God actually loves me. This God loves me more than I love myself. This God actually has the power to bring me through things when I didn't see any way possible to be brought through that. This God has my best interest in mind. This God has the power to accomplish whatever he promises. And so I am going to place more of my faith, my trust in him. And so our faith increases because of that. Not only what God has done in my life, but what I see God doing in Ronnie's life and what I see God doing in my mother's life and what I see him doing in your life and what I've seen God do in other people's lives and what I see that God has done by those that are in the scriptures that we read about. When I see that, it causes my faith to increase. When I stop and I just give God thanks for what all he has done, it causes my faith to increase. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because when we read about what God has accomplished, it causes our faith to increase. And another one that is so important, thanksgiving is an antidote to worry. And here's what it says. I know you say, I don't believe that, because most people never do. It sounds too simple to be true. It says, though, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's turn over there and let's all read it, because I want you to know where this is so you can remember where it is. And never forget this. Now, when you read this, you're going to think this is narrow-minded of Paul, because we think today that worry is so complicated that it couldn't possibly be solved with something as simple as thanksgiving. But he tells us, be careful for nothing. That means do not worry. If you don't believe me, look in some other translations, but that's what that language means. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Go to God in prayer, make your requests known to Him, but also go to Him in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a vital part of our prayer life. It says, and if you do that, verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. See, when Paul directed us to pray, he said, you've got to go to God in thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. You got to thank Him for the things He's done. You got to thank Him for the things that He's going to do. And it is an antidote to worry. It's a prescription to worry. And it'll calm our emotions. It'll heal our spirit when it's broken. And it'll guard our bodies, our physical bodies, against the harm that is a result of worrying. Because worrying will destroy your health. I know, I've been there. I've seen it done. I've seen what it can do to your physical body. And if I hadn't recognized this at some point and just really trusted God and said, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm trusting You to take care of it. And I just want to thank You for what You've already done and what You're going to do. Then there's no telling what kind of destruction it would have done to my body. In fact, I'm persuaded today that some that I know have passed away early in their life because they worried. And so we go through the scriptures and we see that thanksgiving is a vital part of our prayer life. It's an antidote to worrying. And so main thing today I want us never to forget is that failing to recognize what God has accomplished in your life, it's a sure path to worry. If we don't stop and think about what all God has done for us and what He's brought us through, it is a sure, certain path to worrying, because worry will be the natural result. Because we're only focusing on the things that we lack, and that leads to us throwing a pity party. And that's what we know some people that do this. We've done this ourselves, where we just focus on the things we lack and we just throw ourselves a pity party. It leads to feeling like you're abandoned and that God doesn't care and He has no desire to bring you through whatever trial you're going through or whatever answers to your prayer that you're looking for. You feel like God doesn't care if you just focus on the things you lack. But if you'll stop and you'll think about what all God has done and who you are because you're who you are in Christ Jesus, then it will guard against worry. I want to show you something in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. This is an old trick of Satan. This is nothing new. Satan has always, since the beginning of the world, tried to get us to focus only on the things that we don't have instead of the things that we do. And it says here that as Adam and Eve were in the garden, and you know the story, God said that you can take of any fruit in the garden except the fruit that is on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as Adam and Eve thought about this, they said, well, I think that's exactly what I'll do. Because there came a serpent, it says in verse 1, that was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, he said to Eve, yea, hath God really said, did God really say that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now look what Satan focused on there in verse number 1. He says, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's the thing that we see. That's the first thing we see that Satan focused on. All of this that God said they freely had, it's right in front of you. You can eat grapes, you can eat apples over there, you can have the oranges, you can have the cantaloupes, you can have whatever fruits there are, you can have whatever vegetables there are, you can go and you can play, you can run, you can do this and that. I've given you a wife, I've given you a husband, Eve. You've got it all that you possibly need. Good weather. We don't have to wait on the rain. It doesn't rain back in these days. A wonderful time. And here comes Satan. And he says, did God really say you couldn't have that one thing? That one thing you can't have. That's why when we tell our kids or nephews or grandkids or whoever, you can have everything, but you can't touch that. That's exactly what the kids go and touch. One thing you tell us that we can't have, that's what our attention is on. We can't get it off of our mind. That's what we think about all day long. That's what we think about at night. We think about the one thing that we cannot have that is off limits because God said so. And then that's all we think about. And we throw ourselves a pity party. And all the other things that God has freely given to us says we're free in Christ Jesus. The truth shall set you free. All the other things that we're free to have. We don't focus on that. We don't even think about it. We take it for granted. And so Satan's old trick is to focus only on the things that we do not have versus the things that we do. So we should recognize Satan when he comes to us with this tactic, and we should recognize and be thankful for all those we have. When should we give thanks, you say? In the morning, the day, and the night. It helps to give God thanks in the morning to start your day off fresh so that you'll have full confidence and you'll have peace throughout the rest of your day. Thank him for the past, thank him for the future, and we can do that by faith in Jesus and that he's going to do what we've asked him to do according to his will. Now, let's look at some common obstacles to giving thanks to God. Let's turn over to Luke chapter number 17, and we'll finish on this today. Luke chapter 17, there's a story over here of the 10 lepers, and you're probably familiar with this. Now, leprosy was a horrible, horrible disease. Most people were never cured of this. In fact, it was so rare for people to be cured of leprosy that if someone ever claimed to be cured of it, they had to go and appear before the priest. And they had to get the confirmation from the priest to say, do you really believe it's gone? Because people, it was so unheard of. And so there were 10 lepers, and it says it came to pass in verse 11. That as he went to Jerusalem, Jesus, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They recognized the power of Jesus Christ, and they believed that he had their best interest in mind. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest, because he knew that the tradition of the land. And it says, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now remember how many there were. There were 10 lepers. And one of them fell down on his face and praised God and gave thanks to Jesus. And Jesus asked the natural question, were there not 10 cleansed? He said, were there not 10 of them that were healed? But where are the 9? He says, they are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And he told that one stranger who gave thanks, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Why do the majority of people, why do the majority of Christian people, even children of God, who are blessed, why do we fail to thank God or give any credit to him at that? That's the fact of life, is that the majority of us who are blessed by God fail to even acknowledge that God provided it to us. We fail to even stop and give him thanks. So why is it that when we see a miracle in our life like this, that the majority, only 1 out of 10 there in this example, actually stop to give God thanks? And I thought about that, and the Bible doesn't tell us why these men didn't give God thanks. We don't know why. There have been people that speculated over the years. A man named Charles Brown, I think, he wrote down what he speculated these 9 men, what obstacles that these men had to giving God thanks. And that was good. But we don't know for sure. But I'll just think about it this morning, and here's one reason. I got a few that I jotted down. I think one reason why we fail to give God thanks is because we underestimate God's power. We really just don't believe that God is capable or even interested in answering our prayer. We don't think that He's capable of solving this problem. Usually it's because we think God's not interested in solving our problem. Most people who are in church and they've been there for a while, they are persuaded that we serve a powerful God because they have eyes to see the creation that He has made. But they think that He doesn't have their interest in mind, that He has no interest in accomplishing the things that we've already seen. And so when we see a miracle happen in our midst and we prayed for healing, or we prayed for God to give us a new job or work out a financial situation or to work out problems in our marriage and to work out problems with our friends and our brothers and sisters, and we see it solve itself, we say, that couldn't have been God, because God really doesn't have any interest in my problems. My problems are insignificant to God, is what I believe. And we underestimate God's power. And so many a times we even doubt the problem existed in the first place. How many of you have heard that before, where somebody had a problem and they had a sickness, or maybe it was cancer, and they went down to God in prayer and they prayed and they said, God, I need you to help me with this problem. I need you to heal my body from head to my feet. In Jesus' name, I have the faith to believe you. And it says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so I'm believing you're going to do it. They get up and they walk away. And then when they are healed and the doctor says there's no more cancer there, the people say, well, maybe it was just a bad CT scan. Maybe there wasn't really anything there to begin with. And we don't give God thanks for what we've seen Him do clearly in our life. So it probably wasn't even there. Why not go ahead and take all the evidence that is before you that says that it was there, and let's give God the credit for what we know. And so we underestimate God's power. And that's just one of the reasons I think that it's an obstacle to giving God thanks. Sometimes we think if the problem existed, it was resolved by a natural cure. We say it would have happened anyway, and we don't give God the credit because we underestimate God's power. The Bible says we serve an all-powerful God. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. If He had no interest in performing miracles, it would not tell us to have the faith to believe that He could do it. And number two, one obstacle is, I believe, we doubt the faithfulness of God. We sometimes think that God is teasing us with a blessing, that when God blesses us, He'll take it away. And so we want to wait long enough to make sure it really is, that our prayers really have been answered before we'll give Him thanks. And the problem with this, you'll hear people say, well, it's too good to be true. I'll give God thanks once I'm sure the problem really is solved. And we'll do it that way with God. And the Bible tells us we have to be careful of that. I'm going to grab this microphone today. Can you hear me out there? And so sometimes we doubt the faithfulness of God. We think He teases us with that blessing. And the Bible tells us here in Philippians 1:6, Paul said, be confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When God starts a good work, He's faithful to finish it. And so we need to have confidence in God's faithfulness. Another obstacle to us giving thanks to God is, I believe, we wait for a more convenient time. Sometimes God heals us and He does things for us, and we say, well, I'll thank Him when I get home, or I'll thank Him on Sunday. I'll tell the church when I get out there next time. And we hold off, and when we do that, we're not realizing the importance of thanksgiving, because we will soon forget what God has done for us. And this is the whole problem about failing to give thanks. When we don't give God thanks, we forget all the blessings that God has poured out on us. We forget all of the trials and things and the challenges God has brought us through. And then when we're met with some type of a calamity and we're met with some type of a hardship, we become depressed because all we remember are the things that we lack. We only remember the things that we don't have. And that's why the Bible says that we should give God thanks. And that is a cure for our worry, for our anxiety. So don't wait for a more convenient time, because you will soon
forget to do it. Another reason, another obstacle, I believe, is we fail to appreciate what God has done. And I think this comes from a mentality where in America we have this mentality of entitlement, where we think that we owe all of this. And when God does answer our prayers, we say, well, that's his job. He should have done that for me anyways. And that's not true. Bible doesn't tell us anywhere that God had to die for our sins and give us eternal life. God didn't have to give us the ability to pray and to bow before an all-powerful God and actually talk to him. There's nothing within us as sinners, as those that have betrayed God and become enemies to him, that tells us and explains to us that God owes this to him, to us. God doesn't owe us anything. It says he freely chooses to serve us according to his will, simply because he loves us. And so we don't need to go about our business and say, well, God owed it to me anyways. We need to appreciate what all God has done. And the last one today, I think many times we're ignorant of who we really are and what we have in Jesus. We just really don't know what to be thankful for. We don't really know who we are in Jesus Christ and what all he has accomplished for us. And when we tap into that, it's a cure for worry, I assure you. And so one thing, if there's nothing else you remember today, I'd like for you to do this. Stop what you are doing and recognize what you should be thankful for. Stop all the things that you're doing. Take some time out from all this busy schedule that we as Americans seem to have, where we have no time to stop and even think anymore, and take time out to recognize what all we as children of God should be thankful for. And when we do this, we need to do it before tragedy strikes. Because when tragedy strikes, we get tunnel vision. We focus on things we lack. And if we already have a list, we already have a list of all the things that God has done for us and all that we have and who we are in Jesus, then it will become a list that you'll want to hold on to. And when you go through trial, it'll encourage you to say, I've got faith in my God. Look at all the great things that I have in Jesus Christ and who I am because of him. And when you do that, it's an encouragement to get through whatever trial you're faced with. It puts everything in proper context. It shrinks down those things that you don't have, because in light of all the things that we do have in Jesus, and that will give you courage to continue. At the top of that list, I'd like to say, I think that on my list, it will say, I have a heavenly Father who's willing to die for me. That's something I'm thankful for. I have a heavenly Father who was willing to die for my sins so that I could have eternal life, have a personal relationship with him. My sins could be forgiven. I could have a home in heaven. One day when I die or when the Lord returns, that one time that's coming that we call the rapture. And words not in the English Bible, but it is in the Latin. And it tells us that one day he's coming back and we'll go to meet him in the air and we will not die, but we'll be transformed instead. And we'll live forever with Jesus Christ in heaven. All of that is accomplished because I have a heavenly Father that was willing to die for my sins, that could give me the gift of eternal life. And so if there's a friend, a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, someone that you know that doesn't know who Jesus is, share the gospel with them. Share the gospel before it's too late. We need to be thankful people, a thankful church. Thankfulness and giving thanks is very important. Very important to us staying encouraged. Very important to us having peace as we go through this life. It's very important when we go through trials. And so we don't need to forget it. And so the next several weeks, we'll take a look at what are some things Christians should be thankful for. And so I'm excited about it. So come back next week and we'll continue this series.